It's good once again to be here this night and feel the blessings of the Lord. I just when I came in the room tonight, you could just sense the power and the presence of unity that the Lord has been doing ever since you've been here. And I just thank the Lord for that. And it was just so evident what the Lord is doing. And it's just an honor of ours to be a part of this. And we give special honor to Brother and Sister Edwards and the fine church at Mount Vernon. The opportunity just for me to be here is just a special treat and honor for me, Sister Betty and Sister Doris and the staff. And I'm going to say this, and it's not a self-serving statement, but when I picked up the flyer and looked at the staff that you all had here at the meeting, Sister Betty and Sister Doris, I thought, I don't know what I'm doing in the middle of all of that wonderful talent that you brought to this conference and this great staff. And I looked at the scene, the special people that God was going to allow to be a part of this conference, and I give special tribute to them. I haven't had the opportunity to meet Brother Sharp, and I'm looking forward to that, and Brother Mokas. I met him last evening. And Brother and Sister West, aren't they the most precious and sweetest people in all the world? And they're just some genuine folks that that I just appreciate. Their spirit just emanates, and I appreciate them so very much. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I just thank the opportunity to be a part of it. Sister Brenda, I know she was involved, and I just thought, I'm just going to get to be involved in this, and I'm just thankful for that. The Lord has been good and how He has blessed, and I pray last night I felt His touch, and I pray that you felt it in a very special way, because it's just so very wonderful and so very special what the Lord does for each and every one of us. I am going to try to sing, and I pray that Brother Edwards, when I'm done, likes it as much as he does right now, okay? Hallelujah. You pray for me. My wife wasn't able to come tonight, and so I'll do my best. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord is coming, and I want to be ready. I want to be ready to meet Him. Worship the Lord with me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come back again someday. But then, back then, it seemed so real that I can't just help but feel how much closer His coming is today. For wars and strife on every hand and violence fills our land. Still some people seem to doubt God will ever come again. Oh, but the Word of God is true. He'll redeem His chosen few. So don't lose hope, for soon Christ Jesus will descend. For signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling. New feeling, feeling in the air. So keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption, it draweth nigh. So lift up your head. Your redemption, lift it up for for your redemption. Draweth nigh. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's not going to be long, singles. It's not going to be long. He that is to come, he shall come. Hallelujah. And the Bible said his reward is with him. Oh, I'm looking forward to enjoying that reward, aren't you? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a wonderful promise we have tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. I know the clock on the wall is ticking. Turn with me, in your, if you have your Bibles, if you'd stand with me to John chapter 16, if you will. St. John chapter 16. Thank you for just allowing me to be a little part of this conference. And we pray tonight that when we're done here tonight, that God's will has been accomplished. And I pray that someone's heart has been touched in a special way. John chapter 16, hallelujah. I have been preaching here a month or so ago. I was preaching about the children of Israel and the coming out of Egypt, and I was preaching the milk and honey is on the other side. And there have been those, Sister Diane especially, Sister Cindy, our singles director, said that I ought to preach at this conference, your honey is on the other side. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not preaching that tonight. I thought about it, but... Hallelujah. Your honey is on the other side of Jordan, you know, but hallelujah. Maybe next year, if you'll invite me next year. No, I'm just, hallelujah. Yes, it will. Your honey is on the other side. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, praise God, looking at verse number 1. The Lord in the few moments in the last hours of spending time with those 12 that he had called and appointed, began to write to them. And he said in verse number 1, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended," or which means made to stumble. And I thought tonight, well, Sister Jett reminded us once again that we can make it. I said, yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. "I have spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time come," would you say that when the time come? "That when the time come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Would you say with you? "But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Would you say that? "But you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come." If you'll turn back with me two chapters to the 14th chapter, John chapter 14 and verse number 15. The Lord, speaking to them, said, "If you love me, keep other, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Greek word in verse number 18, I will not leave you comfortless. The word comfortless comes from the Greek word orphanos, which means technically orphans. The Lord, in this very special moment with his disciples as he was preparing to make his plans toward the cross, told them, I will not leave you orphans, but I will come to you. Tonight, for just a few minutes, I'd like to preach this thought. We have a heavenly Father. We have a heavenly Father. Would you lift your voice to the Lord and pray that God would anoint us this time together right now? Hallelujah. You're seated, would you tell somebody and remind them you're not alone tonight? Hallelujah. Would you just remind them that tonight? Hallelujah. The writing in John chapter 16, as the Lord began to talk to his disciples, he said, I'm going to speak some things into you, but I pray that when I do speak to you, that you would not be offended or that you would not stumble. That somehow that you would not fall away from the things that for 3.5 years we have walked together, talked together, slept together, ate together, and went about the ministry in the last 3.5 years. He said, I'm going to talk to you tonight, and when I talk to you, I pray that you do not stumble. The things that I'm going to tell you are not, some of them are not good. They're going to put you in a synagogue. And they're going to put you out of the synagogue, and it won't be a situation that'll be good, because when they throw you out of the church, literally, there will be those that will think that they are doing God's service. You're going to go through some rough times. There's going to be some circumstances and situations that's going to come. People will misuse you and abuse you, and in doing that, they will literally think that they are pleasing Almighty God. He said, they're going to do that not because you are so bad, but those people do not know me or know my Father. You're just the vehicle by which their ignorance is going to be manifested. He said, but I'm going to tell you some things today. Tonight I'm going to talk to you, and I want you to put it somewhere in your memory bank, if you will. I'm going to tell you some things because you cannot bear them now. On this night, in this closing days of our coming together, I'm going to speak to you. You cannot bear the words that I'm going to say, but I'm going to tell you them. And I want you to remember them. I didn't tell you at the beginning. I didn't say this to you that first day when I called you from the Sea of Galilee and for those four said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And as he gathered them together, he said, I didn't tell you this at the beginning. I was with you. I followed you. I've walked with you now for this period of time. But I'm going to go away. It's not long, and I'm going to be leaving. And I'm going to tell you some things that you can remember after I am gone. You see, it had been a long time. If you will think with me from that day that Jesus Christ came and Peter and James and John and Andrew were there involved in their business, and Jesus called them and said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Time had now changed them, and time had changed the circumstance and situation from that moment that they stood there on the seashore as Jesus began to call them to a ministry. It had even been a little while from that great day of great excitement, Brother Mokas, when they stood there and Jesus began to anoint them. And He said, I give you power over disease. He said, I give you power over the authority of the devils. I give you power in your ministry to go forth and do the work of God. I can imagine, Brother Edwards, as those young ministers, if you will, just stood there as the great teacher anointed them and gave them a special anointing and sent them forth to do the work that God had commissioned them to do. Hallelujah. It had been a little while from that moments of those special anointings. It had even been a little while, if you remember with me, when Jesus stood there that day, miracles had happened and the crowds had grown large. And Jesus drew the line of commitment pretty straight when He said, if you're going to follow Me, you're going to have to eat My flesh and you're going to have to drink My blood. And there were those that was in that crowd, didn't understand necessarily what He was trying to say, but it drew the line of commitment pretty sharp. It made the pathway of walking with Him pretty straight and narrow. And the Bible said that there were those that heard that statement. Many of them walked away because they were not ready to give that kind of commitment, that kind of dedication to follow after Him. And there, after the crowd began to turn away, Jesus turned and looked at the 12 and said, will you also go away? You know, here's the multitudes going. If you're going to leave, why don't you leave right now? Literally what He was trying to say. If you're going to follow Me, you're going to have to eat My flesh and drink My blood. And if that commitment's not in your heart, if it's not in your life, why don't you leave, Brother Sharp? He said, why don't you leave even right now? Peter turned and looked at the Lord and said, oh Jesus, to whom shall we go? We've followed You now and we've come here this far. Where are we going to turn and where are we going to go? We've been faithful this far and how are we going to leave now? From that moment when they didn't have the money to pay the taxes and Peter went fishing on the at Capernaum seaside and the fish was caught and the taxes were paid. Hallelujah, because God had done some great miracles for them. What I'm telling you, there was a panorama of experiences to that day when they're sitting at Caesarea Philippi and Jesus asked the question. He said, who do men say that I am? Who do they say? And some said they're Jeremiah, some say you're Elias, some say you're this and some say that. Peter spoke up. You know the wonderful revelation. He said, thou art the Christ. He said, thou art the Son of the living God. And He came forth with that wonderful revelation that you and I hold steadfastly to today. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. The Lord said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. What you bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. He gave to Peter literally the keys to the kingdom. Hallelujah. And said, hallelujah. Peter, on that revelation of who I am, you're literally going to open the door, hallelujah, to heaven where people in the Gentile dispensation can walk on in. Hallelujah. And what a grand and a glorious revelation that was. But what I want to tell you from that moment, can somebody say that moment? From that moment of great revelation. Sometimes you know this in your own life. It's after moments of great, grand, glorious victory. Maybe when you leave this conference or maybe other conferences, it's sometime right on the heels of great victory. It's when the enemy really puts his fangs in, if you understand. It's right off the heels of great victory that if you're not careful while you're resting in that victory, that the enemy can move in and begin to work in your life. The standing with that glorious revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has the keys to the kingdom right in His pocket because Almighty God gave it to Him. But on the heels of that revelation, look at it. John Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. He said, from that time forward, from that moment of that great revelation, God began to tell His disciples how He had to go to Jerusalem. And when He got to Jerusalem, how He would suffer many things of the chief priests and the high priests that were in Jerusalem and how that He was going to die and be killed the third day. He began to prepare them on the heels of that revelation of who He was and opening the doors of heaven. He began to prepare those disciples. Things are going to change. It's not going to be like it has been in days gone by. But I am going to go away and I am going to leave you and I am going to go away. Hallelujah. But don't worry. Hallelujah. Don't worry. It may not be just the way it's always been. Hallelujah. But I
I want you to know, disciples. He said in Luke 24, I want you to go to Jerusalem. And there I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! And on that revelation, Pastor, they made their way a Sabbath day journey to that upper room. And in one mind and one accord, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. He gave it to them. He gave it to us. We've got it tonight. We've got it tonight. Holy Ghost in fire. We got it tonight. Hallelujah! 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 He gave it to us. Hallelujah! Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about, for it is impossible for those who once have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift. I felt it when I walked in here today. There have been people all day long tasting on this heavenly gift. Hallelujah. Literally taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Hallelujah. He said they have tasted of the heavenly gift, been made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Has anybody in the house got the Holy Ghost tonight? Hallelujah. Tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Hallelujah. You see what this Holy Ghost is? It's not only good for just this convention, this conference, Sister Betty. Hallelujah. This Holy Ghost reaches up and get a hold of heaven. What I've got in my heart today is good today. It'll be good tomorrow. It'll be good next year. It'll be good for 1,000 years from now. I got the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the world to come. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My Holy Ghost reaches across this literal veil of tears and grabs that other world that God has prepared for me. You see, that's the thing about an atheist. He has no cosmic relations. All he has is just this day, this moment, this hour. That's all he's got. But when you see us, when you see us in worship and tonight in that hayride, hallelujah, when you look at us, we're more than just what you see. Hallelujah, we're vessels full of the power of the Holy Spirit, just waiting for the Messiah to come. Hallelujah, and come and claim His own. That's what we are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For it is in Him we live, move, and have our being. That's what the Lord said. He said in Hebrews, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come. This is not my final resting place. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger down here. I know He's coming back, and I want to be ready to meet Him. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he said to them, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. You don't understand this. You won't feel it today. You won't feel it in your emotions, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I've got to go away. He said, you don't understand it right now. You don't perceive it right now. But just hear me and remember when that day comes that I told you this today. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But if I depart, Brother West, he said, I will send Him unto you. Hallelujah. If I go away, I'm going to send to you the power of the Comforter. Hallelujah. For when He is come. When he, the Comforter, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to go away, but when I come back again in the power of the Comforter, revelation is going to dawn. Hallelujah. And that day will come when you will know and understand all things more clearly than you understand them now. Hallelujah. He said, when the Comforter comes, he said, when he has come, he's going to reprove the world of sin. Hallelujah. When I think about the world that Jesus Christ came into, it's a world much like this you and I live in right now. Hallelujah. Everything had turned backwards. Everything was far adrift from where it should have been. Of that time in prophecy, Isaiah chapter 54 says, of that time judgment was turned away backward. It said justice had fallen in the street. Truth could not enter and equity could not enter. It was a time of circumstance of sin that was so, a world so grossed in sin that when Messiah came to that world that he created, he was in the world and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. They were so caught up in their world, so caught up in their living, Sister Brenda, that they did not understand him. Now creation knew him, the stars and the trees and all that was about them, but man did not know him. They had somehow drifted, hallelujah, in religious and other thinkings and some philosophies. They had drifted away from him. The problem with Jesus Christ, the problem with him, he was just too good for his society. He was a man of moral truth and character and righteousness in the midst of a filthy, degraded world that was on its way to hell. And Jesus Christ was born in a manger and walked among this world, healing and raising the dead and causing blind eyes to see. And he was love, and he was love personified. But he was so good that the world had a choice. It's got a choice even tonight. Hallelujah. It is a choice tonight either to climb to the level that Jesus Christ would live, or somehow try to take Jesus Christ and pull him down to the beggarly elements of this world. Somehow pull Christ down to where the masses live. But Jesus Christ chose to walk among us in pure truth, that we might follow his steps and live as he would have us live. He was just too good for his society. That's why when Pilate says, what is truth? And he's wanting to let them go, the crowds and the masses cry, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Why? They didn't want Jesus. They didn't want Jesus because of the moral qualities and goodness that he possessed. And they chose rather to live in the cesspool of humanity, in the cesspool of Adamic nature that draws us away from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. He was challenging the world. He was challenging the world to climb the ladder, much like you and I have a choice. We can either take a stand in this world and walk the high road of humanity and morality, or we can walk through the world, hallelujah, as the masses. I say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I'm going to follow him. As for me and my house, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to glorify him. For he's worthy of my praise and worship. Hallelujah. 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 They tried to pull him down, because when the Comforter came, he was going to reprove the world. The Greek word for reprove, eleko, literally means convict. And when he walked this earth, the Holy Ghost, brother that was in him, convicted men in their sins. Convicted them of their life and their low living and their lying and cheating. Well, he walked in such purity. They couldn't stand while he would go to the temple and minister in healing, while they knew in their own hearts there was rebellion and backsliddenness in their own heart, and the power of the Holy Spirit would convict them. Sometimes we shouldn't be spiritual snobs or smart alecks as apostolics, but sometimes we feel that kind of feeling in people, not because they don't like you, not because they think, you know, you as a person's bad, but there's something about that Holy Spirit that is in you that convicts them of their waywardness and convicts them of their lifestyle. Hallelujah. We got to be sensitive to that and understand some of that is working so we can compensate it with our attitudes and our cheerfulness and loving people, because there's something about our nature and the power of the Holy Spirit that will convict, Brother Mokas, the world. By his walking among them, literally, of sin because they believe not on me. He convicted them because of who he was. But nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot depart. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. But when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. But of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I don't know what you think tonight, but I can tell you about this man that's preaching to you tonight. There's no good. There's no great qualities about me. I only stand here tonight as a vessel of his mercy and a vessel of his grace. There's never been a man that's been able to bring himself to God, because we all stand so short. So short in bringing ourselves to God. We are sinners saved by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. When I look at this Bible and I see it tonight, I understand that there's a scarlet cord of the crimson blood of the cross that winds its way through every page of this book. The scarlet cord beginning at Genesis all the way through Revelation, that winds its way through this hallowed book, that tells me, Sister West, it's not who I am that makes the difference, but it's by the mercy and the grace of Almighty God, who found me in my sin, who found me in my degradation, who found me when I was lost, who found me when I didn't know the way to go, found me when I was estranged from Him, found Him when I was lost without Him and my habits and all of my lifestyle. The mercy of the blood of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ found me. It was not of works, lest any man should boast. It's literally like the priest standing in the presence, hallelujah, on that great day of atonement. And he lays hands upon that scapegoat. And he begins to pray and he begins to confess over that scapegoat. And the Bible said literally he would lay the sins of Israel upon that goat. And he would pray and confess and lay all of the sins of Israel upon that goat. And when he was done, they literally, Brother Minkowski, would take the goat by the way and they would lead it out into a land inhabited. When I think about Jesus Christ, he was brought as a criminal. Hallelujah. They let him outside of the gate. They let him outside of the camp. He was the purest and most holy of all men, but he walked away of a criminal. For our sakes, he who was rich became poor. He took upon him the form of a servant, that you and I might know the joy of being his child. Hallelujah. He became, hallelujah, he became a man. While the world was always trying to say, Jesus, they would always say, brother, to drive the nail in, I know who you are. You're Joseph. You're Joseph's son, the carpenter. And doing that, they were always trying to drive that nail in, brother. You're not who you say you are. You said you was before Abraham, but we know who you were. You're from Nazareth. You're just the carpenter's son. That's who you are. They always thought that he was man trying to be God. But what the world didn't understand, he was Almighty God trying to be man. He was trying to come, a God that dwelleth in light, which no man can approach. He took on human form and he walked among us. And the Bible said our hands have handled. Our hands have handled the word of life. This is the heritage of the servants of God, Isaiah said, and their righteousness
are of me. He gave his blood so I could be his son. I told you last night that when Mary Magdalene, when he spoke her name, as she immediately, at that sound of that name, of hearing that, she reached out immediately, like you and I would do. She wanted to touch him. I mean, at the sound of something so wonderful and the power of God that was manifest in her life, she reached out to touch him. And he said, "Don't touch me, Mary. Don't touch me, Mary." You know, I'm sure it broke his heart, but he said, "Don't touch me, Mary." But he knew that you and I were still in our sins. He knew, hallelujah, that the pattern of earth had to be done in heaven. And Almighty God, Pastor, had to make his way to the balconies of glory and the pattern in the heavenlies. And there Almighty God had to take his blood. He who became a partaker of flesh and blood like you and I had to make his way to heaven and there offer himself a ransom and a sacrifice in heaven that you and I tonight in this place can lift up holy hands and a clean heart. You say, "Brother Griffith, is that you?" No. No, because my nature takes me away from God. If I'm not careful, I find myself adrift. Hallelujah. Thank God. He died that you and I might have life. He shed his blood of righteousness because I go to my Father. And you see me no more. I don't have any righteousness or goodness of my own. But it's what Jesus Christ has given me and allowed me to have. And he said of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Tonight, you know it well as I. Especially on this night and on this weekend especially. That there's a God of this world that is at work in our planet. On this weekend of Halloween, of all of the forces of evil and degradation that are working, we all understand that we live in a planet and in a place that has fallen. That it is adrift and away. It is away from the ark of safety. And we understand that the God of this world is at work. And we understand that Adam, though he was blessed, he fell when he partook of that tree and the inheritance that Adam had. And that inheritance of eternal life that was going to last forever, it drifted away from him. That inheritance that he had to know the beauty and the joy and the fellowship of God in the evening of the cool of the evening. In one moment, in one decision in his life. When he chose to make that decision, that separation came between him and God. For the Bible said, "Your sins have separated you and God." And at one moment, Adam, who had the keys to eternal life, forfeited them to the God of this world. And the God of the world became the God of this world. And his mission was to keep us away from him. But John tells us this. He said, "Now is the judgment of this world. And now shall the prince of this world be cast out." The judgment of this world, the word chrysos means turning point. He said, "Now is the turning point of this world. And now shall the prince of this world be cast out." He was saying that everything of human history, Pastor Edwards, it all hung on one man on a cross. The battle lines have drawn. The forces of good, if you will, and the forces of evil. It all hangs in one moment on the judgment of this world. It's all going to pin and turn on one situation, on a man that is at the cross. A man that is on his way to Calvary. And cross, if it did anything else, it brought Satan to the judgment bar. It brought him before God literally once again when he stood before God and God stood before Satan. Satan didn't understand what was going on. For the Bible said if they had known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Sister, they could have put you on the cross or me on the cross. Yes, brother,
on the cross, Brother Payne on the cross. Hallelujah. And we would be nothing more, Brother Delmer, but shed blood, and just like other men would die. But you put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and you shed His blood. It opened salvation for a whole world. Satan didn't understand it. He didn't know it. That this God-man, this man called Jesus, hallelujah, that He was going to become our righteousness. And with His shed blood, hallelujah, eternal life. Somebody shout eternal life. Eternal life could be bought. The judgment, it's all turning. How's it turning, brother? How's it turning? It's turning in this way. Because when Adam sinned and walked away from God, and the separation came. The Bible said that that man that could have known and enjoyed heaven and could have known eternal life and eat of the fruit of that tree, he could have eaten it of any time and could have lived forever. But in that day of great sin, God took them and led them out of the garden. He took Adam and Eve and led them out of the garden. And there before that tree of life, the Bible said that He placed a flame and sword which turned every which way. That flame and sword turned and turned and turned and turned. He also took his sentry, an angel, and said, stand before the way of the tree of life. Lest man that has sin in his life can come to this tree and eat and know the joy of eternal life while there's sin in his life. And so God put an angel, and He also put the flame and sword that turned ever which way. Hallelujah. And regardless of how good Moses was, he was the man, hallelujah, as meek as he was, Sister Brenda, he couldn't provide salvation. Because when he tried to make it toward the tree of life, as he would come and head toward the tree, as he would come, the flame and sword literally would devour him. And Moses would die like other men. Joshua, name it, Abraham, a man of faith, that we call him the father of the faithful. But Brother Minkowski, though he was faithful in faith, he could not die the death of the flaming sword. Because when he would hit the flaming sword, he would die like another man. Hallelujah. But along comes Jesus. And He says, it is finished. Paid in full. And here He comes. And here the angel has stood now for 4,000 years of human history, as He watched as others have come and fail. But now He sees Him coming down the lane. This man, Christ Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Here He comes. He's coming. Hallelujah. He says, angel, step back. Flame and sword, which is turning. He goes through the flame and sword, but He's not devoured. He literally comes once again to the tree, and He begins to eat of that tree. Hallelujah. He holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Because He lives, we can live. Because He's living today, you and I have the promise. The promise of eternal life. And He died the death of the sword. But the grave couldn't hold Him. And the Roman sword couldn't kill Him. And the ransom for sin was paid. Tonight Jesus stands and holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Isaiah said, but now, Lord, Thou art our potter. We the clay. Thou art our Father. We are the clay. And Thou art our potter. It also says that if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The word advocate is the same Greek word paraclete, which stands for comforter. You have a comforter tonight. If any man in this room, any woman in this room has committed any kind of sin, you have a comforter. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go to you to the very end of the world. If there's sin, you have an advocate,
Jesus Christ.
There's one thing I know about this group of people. You've gone through some things. There have been a lot of good days. But what I'm amazed when I'm around you is because I know that in somehow in the middle of our shouting and our rejoicing, and that's what makes it so sweet, that there have been some days of dark loneliness and trial and separation and hurt and pain that would literally, if you were not careful, take you away from the cross of Christ. There's some folks in this room been through some stuff. They've been through some things. But tonight, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not an orphanless child. He didn't leave you an orphan. He didn't leave you alone to go through this trail of tears alone. You have. You're a child of God, brother. And He's holding on your hand. And as long as you hold on to Him and apprehend it, hallelujah. As long as you hold on to His hand and He holds on to yours, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall ever separate me from the love of God that is in Christ. I got His hand. I'm His child. I'm His son. Hallelujah. 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 The judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Satan has been put in his place. For we have not received, the Bible said, the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is a tragic thing. I know tonight I'm preaching to people that have felt that in your life. I felt it. I know you have too. But we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we, my God, we have received the spirit of adoption. We're not orphans. We have received the spirit of adoption. Whereby, why don't we all say it right now? Abba, Father. Come on, do it loud. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Abba, Father. I'm not afraid. I know I can make it tomorrow. I know I can make it on the job next week. Next year, I know I can make it. I don't know what I'm going to face. I don't know what I'm going to go through. But I'm not alone. I'm His child. He's my daddy. I've got a heavenly Father. I'm not alone. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never fail me. He's with me in the mountain, on the valley, the good days, the bad days. Almighty God is with me. Abba, Father. Daddy. Daddy, I need you. I need you. I think it'd be all right tonight just to admit in this place, we gotta have Him. We can't live without Him. We gotta have Him. I gotta have you, Jesus. I gotta have you. I know, God, you're with me. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You see, the enemy wants to make you think tonight you're alone. He wants you to think that it's you against the world and it's the world against you. But you got a Father tonight. You got a Heavenly Father. He's not going to leave you orphanless on the side of the road without protection or care or security. He's here. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and there they are safe. Somebody in this auditorium right now needs to run into the name. Somebody that's been battling some things right now, you need to run into, that's it, brother, into the name right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, and by the power of that name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody needs to go running into that name. Somebody needs to find safety and security in that name right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Tell you what I feel like doing. I don't think tonight's a night to be alone. I think you need to get three or four around you. Hallelujah. And let's pray together in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand if we would and get with three or four or five. You're not in this battle alone. You're not here alone tonight. There's somebody right asleep. They know. Hallelujah. We're children of the King. Hallelujah. We're soldiers of the great God. That's it. Pray one for another. Hallelujah. Minister to one another right now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, claim the promises of a child. I'm a child of the King. He's my daddy. Hallelujah. He promised He would take care of me. He promised He would not leave me on the side of the road. My seed begging for bread. God promised. God said He would go with me even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. 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 God said He would be with me. He wouldn't leave me alone. He wouldn't leave me alone. Oh, God is with me. Hallelujah. It may look like destruction. It may look like something I don't want. But God is for my good. It's for the blessings of God in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Pray for one another. Hallelujah. The ministry of God is going in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can make it. You can make it. You're not alone. You got brothers and sisters. You got an almighty God. Hallelujah. You got the family. Hallelujah, you got the family. You've got the family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've got sin, you've got an advocate. You've got a comforter tonight that's ready to forgive you. A comforter that's ready to make things right. Hallelujah. Cry out to Him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
know it's in the name of Jesus, in a lovely name.